We worship you, Jesus. Thank you for that blood. Oh, we're so thankful, Jesus. Ooh, praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Can we do that in triplicates? We will in just a moment. Pastor Ben and Carol Martin and Crestview. They just dropped by about 12 hours. I don't know how long it takes. But we're glad they're here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We exalt you, Jesus. I want to make an announcement that I'm reminded that the prophecies are on the back table. What prophecies, Kathy? Which ones are they? Tell us loud from the back. May 30th, the Great Grace prophecy. Was that on a Wednesday? Okay, good, good. And Friday nights. Wow, wonderful. Thank you. How many appreciate Kathy typing all those up for us all the time? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory and honor. Magnify you, Jesus. I magnify you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We exalt you, Jesus. We worship 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 you. We magnify you, Jesus. Oh, blessed be the Lamb. Blessed be the Lamb. Blessed be the Lamb. Blessed be the Lamb. Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory and honor. Praise and honor, Jesus. Nesoloma, Jesus. Worthy, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. The house was shaken. Hallelujah. The house was shaken. They were all filled and filled and filled and filled and filled and filled again. Hallelujah, Jesus. I magnify you. I exalt you. Oh, shake us again and 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 again. Jesus, I magnify you. I exalt you. I worship you. I magnify you, Jesus. Frumbe iski grosda le mensitio. Eso crece. Jesus, we worship you. Blessed be the Lamb. Honor and glory. Honor and glory and praise. Thanksgiving belongs to you, Jesus. We worship you. Hallelujah. We're living incredible days right now. There's something that's come in just the last few weeks. If you've been following it, just an increase of His glory. And every once in a while, some of you may get the backlash of it. The enemy will try to throw something at you. 24 hours ago, you felt like you were Mr. or Mrs. Walking Word. And felt the invincibility of God in you. And then all of a sudden, what you didn't ask for came down the pike. Is there an increasal? Did you think that what he does is he tries to take you to school. He wants to train you. Because he's tried to train me before. He knows our greatest days ahead of us. So if he can come with anything and slap you with it, then he'll tell you, look, don't play this game with me, because if you do, I'll come with more. And so you're thinking, where's the end of it? Because the more you go into revival, the more it comes back. You know the place that we're going to is a place where a stillness dwells 24/7. 24/7. Why? Because it's not predicated on any outside surrounding circumstances. The only thing it's predicated on is your standing in the Father and all of reality. All of reality, everything that you know, everything that you sense, everything that you feel, everything that could possibly be a reality to you. It's not based on what somebody just said or even where you're at. It's based on a place where He's at, and it keeps dictating to you how you're going to feel for the moment. Glory to God. Now, when they were talking with Jesus in the 6th chapter of John, and He had just fed the 5,000, and He had taken Himself up into the mountain to pray, to be alone, and His disciples went down to the sea, and they got in the ship, and they sailed along the seaside. Well, He saw them against a storm, and so He thought, I'll walk out there. And He got in the boat with them, and immediately it was on land. The Bible says that the crowd followed other little ships. But some of them took notice that he didn't get in the boat with His disciples. They knew that He wasn't with them, so they asked Him the question, where were you at? How'd you get here? He said to them, you didn't follow Me here because you saw the miracle. You followed Me because you ate the bread. They said, oh, you're talking about bread. He said, yeah, but I am the true bread that came down, that has come down from above. He said, oh, we know about the bread from above. Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness. Moses, God gave them manna through Moses. He said, your fathers didn't eat the bread from heaven because I'm the bread from heaven. Your fathers ate the bread they called manna and they're dead. He wasn't talking about physical death. He was saying they died having no new nature. They're saved all right. They're waiting for all redemption to take place. But as for this time, I am the true bread of life. I've come down from heaven to give you My body. Boy, He mixed them up then. He was standing in Capernaum then, the place where His headquarters were at. And boy, He threw the Jews for a loop. He said, except you drink My blood, eat My body, you'll have no part in Me. Well, they all went shamefaced. I mean, they confused. Tell a Jew, you're going to eat another man's body. He said, no, clearing it up. My body is bread indeed. My blood is drink indeed. He cleared it up. But He said at that time, many of His disciples that walked with Him said, this is a hard saying. We don't know about this, eating your flesh. He said, anybody that'll eat My flesh will never die. Well, He was talking about the spiritual death. Once you enter into the life of the new nature, you'll never die. Well, many of the disciples that weren't part of the 12, they said, we can't hear this. And He noticed that even His 12 were murmuring. He said, do you have a problem with this? They did, because it was a hard saying to say, you must eat of My body. He said, this is paraphrasing, you know. He said, you got a hard time with that? Let me give you something even a little bit more difficult to manage. He said, what and if you'll see in the days ahead the Son of Man rising to a place of authority and going back to the place where He came from? Do you have a hard time with eating My flesh? My kingdom's not even of this world. And you stay around Me long enough, you're going to know it's not of this world because I'm going to ascend back where I came from. But by the way, what you've got to know is this. The flesh in this kingdom profiteth nothing. Nothing. He said, the words that I'm speaking to you, they are spirit. In other words, they're coming out of a realm where that new nature lives and dwells. What he was saying to them at that time is what they were going to learn is whatever God does with you in this life, oh, He's changing me from glory to glory. How so? Your body? Not hardly. Soul? You can get your soul under the dominance of the Spirit. But the changing part that's going from glory to glory has nothing to do with your flesh. The catalyst, the dynamo, the generator, whatever God does to get you to go from where you're at right now to the next place is He's changing you on the inside in that place called the new nature, the born again spirit. Jesus said, does that bother you? One day you're going to see me ascend up on high, but the problem you're having right now is you see everything in the flesh. It's not anything to do with your pedigree as Jews. It's not anything to do with anything that you're thinking now. He said the flesh, it's not going to, in this kingdom, it's not going to profit you. God's not going to be able to do anything through your flesh. But He said the words that I speak to you, they're spirit. They're coming out of a place of spirit. Oh, and by the way, they are life. When Moses went to the Red Sea and he held out his rod and the waters parted, it was a sovereign move of God because God had a shadow. He was teaching us that one day, like the Jews who went into the sea and came out on the other side, you and I would be baptized into His spiritual death, right along with Christ, Romans 6. That our old man was baptized with Him into death, His spiritual death. We rose on the other side with Him. But whatever Moses did that day didn't come from his spirit because he wasn't born again. Now if God, for whatever reason, hardly there would be, if He'd sent you down to Lake Trafford and you're standing there and He's saying, I want you to part this sea. And He's got a real reason for you doing it. I want you to part this lake. It wouldn't come from out there somewhere. You've been born again. The download to everything that you'll do, the shaking of a city, the turning of everything upside down around you, you walking in and a room being filled with chaos and just your presence turning the whole thing into something different. Doesn't come from way out there. He said this new kingdom that you're about to enter into, everything that happens to you has to happen in your new nature, in your spirit. If God's going to get anything across to you, if He's going to change you, if you're going to worship Him, if you're going to pull down strongholds, if you're going to do anything, it's got to come through your new nature. It's got to come through your spirit. He said the flesh is not going to, you cannot groom it enough. You cannot bring it into enough of a quality where you say, I'm trying to make myself a more mannerly person, and I'm trying to do this, and I'm disciplining myself against some of my old character weaknesses. You know, I don't like this about my... He said, look, as far as it goes, there's no power in the flesh. I can't even work with it. It has to be declared spiritually dead, and you have to walk away from it. The part of you that's changing, even the part of you that's taking hold and bringing a dominance into things of the flesh that once controlled you, it's not coming through any determination on your own. It's through the Spirit. Whew. Glory to God. Got an envelope. I'd be a little surprised, but it changed my whole course of anything I'd said because I hurt no one intentionally. Anybody send me an envelope this week? Thank you for not answering. I didn't believe for one moment. So wherever this goes, whoever listens to it, year from now, 2 years from now, when whatever person, I want them to know that I love them as much as the people in the crowd that are sitting here that I'm speaking to as a family. Because in this revival, He wants everybody saved. He does. We're going to places we've never been. I can feel it getting closer and closer and closer. And it feels like an inertia that keeps, the more it goes, we've been listening to some of those latest prophecies by Dave. The Lord said, the more you get, the more you'll get. And somebody said, what does that mean? To him that has, more will be given. And it really will if you don't stop and if you don't let him, excuse me, because I've felt this way, he wants to potty train you. Not God, the devil. He wants to tell you, look, I'm training you. I'll slap you if you move in any closer. So you're going to be... Now listen, he knows there really is a place of... There's no place on planet Earth where there will never be no trials. But there is a place of invincibility over in his joy that no matter what he throws, you're oblivious to it. Where some point in the future, somebody will come to you and ask you, are you an idiot? Do you not know what's happening to you right now? Do you not understand what they're saying? Do you not fear? Don't you fear what's coming on you? Do you not know it looks like you're losing everything? And you'll say, well, it hadn't dawned on me yet. I pray it doesn't. There is no place where he will not come, the enemy. But there is a place inside of him, Jesus Christ, that he's offering to us. Then this is what the enemy's fighting, because he knows the more you get, the more you'll get, and the more you'll go on to places where he cannot touch. He can touch the flesh, but he cannot touch the spirit. There's things happening these last few services. There's been two or three. Friday night was unbelievable. It was just wonderful. It was unusual. I think it was 11 o'clock, 10:30 before I called Gay up to ask her to do the confessions. But what came on a Sunday was so unusual, and it was just like something that happened 2 weeks ago. You know, the Sunday where Homer was saying, let's go, let's, you know. And we didn't stop. And two or three people told me, they said it felt like we were just being stretched, didn't it? Just in a place we hadn't been. It felt good, but it felt awkward. When you've not been to certain places, it'll feel good, but awkward. You feel like, if this feels good, but awkward. I can ride this bike, but it just feels a little awkward. Sunday, we... 5 hours. I mean, we got here at 9:30, some of us. And when we started praying for people afterwards, I don't know what time that was, 12:30. But then when we left here, it was 2:30. And the part was so wonderful. See, if God's really doing this, it's not something you're trying to fabricate or pull in. You're not sitting around. You know, I didn't feel like we were saying, okay, let's sit here another 30 minutes and we'll feel real spiritual. The time just got away from us. It was 2 hours of nonstop worship and glory just came on. Just glory. And then we got into some real, just like, you know, celebration. I love that. I loved it. The kids got up here. We celebrated. Flags and everything. I loved it. But we're going to places we've never been. Dave keeps talking about a revival of sanity, soundness, where the businessman can walk in. And the glory of God will be so strong. And the miracles will be so undisputable that they can't deny what's going on. Soundness. Nobody barking. Nobody crowing. Just the glory of God. It's a doctrine. It's a revival of doctrine too. Sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. I got this in the mail yesterday. This is my envelope that I call, if I was a Perry Mason guy and presenting this towards the court, I'd call this, these are my exhibits. Somebody gave me the license to share this, because whenever they send something and they don't put a return address on it, I never liked anything that didn't have something where it came from. Unless you send me a lot of money and you want no credit for it, then God bless you. Pack these bubble. For the sake of the tape, I've got a bubble envelope. And it was filled with goodies. But it didn't have much money in it. It did have some. About 6 pennies, I think. It's exhibit. Now this person, if you ever listen to this, my friend, you didn't let me know who you were, so I couldn't call you to privately talk to you about this. And so I hope that when you hear this teaching in the future, that God ministers to your life with love. They had a lot of different things in here. When I first got it, I said to Candy, I said, "What is this, Candy?" I said, "Now, is this a one of those chain letters or, you know, something like that?" By the way, those are pretty ungodly. If you don't send this, something's going to happen to you. Or you send it and you'll get a blessing. Did he not say that it's the spirit? The flesh profits nothing. Doesn't the flesh, anything to do with the flesh, is not going to take us into revival. All our mortification, all of our stand against Satan, all of our worship, all of everything that we are. When you don't understand fellowship, when you don't understand fellowship, then you've got to go to novelties. Now, they did send me, and I couldn't get this straight. They had Pastor Gary Flint, but they had Father right here. So I may have been being addressed as a father, and not Amber's father, but maybe clerically father in their eyes. But I'm not asking you to call me father. You don't even have to call me pastor if you don't want to, but don't not call me for dinner. Don't call me. Yeah, unless you've got an offering with it. Now they did, one of these little deals here had a Happy Father's Day, and that's all it said. But then it was kind of like the mixture. See, where the enemy has destroyed many great, great, serious people that loved God was with mixture. This right here is mixture. Because they've got some good, they've got some really good, they've got an old man of the faith that I think is one of my fathers, Kenneth Hagin. He put a book in there for me, How God Taught Me About Prosperity. I think that's one of the greatest men that ever lived as far as knowing God. And then they've got another lady here that I really won't mention her name because of the reason of the tape, but she's a wonderful woman of God. If I was talking to you privately, I'd show you this. And I think she's got a testimony in here that's out of her new book, and it had something to do, it's a little excerpt in there, and it had something to do in her excerpt about a penny that actually somehow saved her life or brought her to Christ. And so I think that's why they put in the same envelope with this, they put me like 7 pennies, I think. And by the way, they gave me an alignment service at Tire Kingdom, a coupon. So that was nice of them. That was nice. When I got to this part, they sent me a little vial of anointing oil, and there it is. And I hope none of you just begged me to be anointed with this. But they also sent along with this, it's kind of a Jewish rendition of all the different oils and what it does for you and how it works and all that stuff. Along with the anointing oil, they sent me this. This was the only writing they had in it. And they had certain books. about angels and about demonic warfare. And I won't mention the books because this goes out. I will say this. I believe in deliverance. But I also believe that there's been some books that have been written that are off target. They'll have you concentrating more on demonic spirits. Now, I've read the epistles many, many times over and over and over again. There's deliverance in them. But their primary objective is not about deliverance, but it's how to form Christ in you, the hope of glory. And there are certain books that are written that everything's a devil. You know, some people really like it that everything's a devil. Now, you're not going to understand this, some of you, but some people, sick as it sounds, like to think that they're demonically possessed or oppressed, because that gives them some kind of excuse not to change the flesh and them get rid of the lust or the perversion or the problem. Oh, I've got a devil. No, you've got a flesh problem, and you need deliverance, but you need to walk it out by going in and dying to Christ. And so I can't mention some of the books here that I disagree with, because it goes out. But this person said, this anointing oil, spikenard for worship. And this is what they told me. They said, in using the oil, you will go into a higher worship. You will see more and hear more and feel more and even stop more. Now, this is the part that I knew that they had missed it, because they signed it. And I thought, now, are they signing it as in proxy, like I'll say, thus saith the Spirit of grace? But it looks more like they signed it as if this is who they identified themselves that they were. They signed it the Lamb of God, Jesus. Well, sir or ma'am, whoever you are, if you sign that believing that you're Him, there's only one of Him. And the Word said He's ascended to the right hand of majesty on high. Now, there's a guy in Naples, and I heard he was going to try to move in on us preachers. And he's declaring himself as Christ. So maybe this is some of his stuff. But he's got enough Pentecostal stuff in here that if you weren't walking, and somebody sent you an anointing oil and said, I've tried this. Look, it took me to a higher dimension. Jesus said, look, in this kingdom, there's only one thing that's going to take you to a higher place. It's not a novelty. It's not something that you say, okay, I did this and it took me. No, it's you changing from glory to glory and going into His presence. He said, the flesh doesn't profit anything. Some people's, because they don't know. Now, this may have been more innocent, like somebody mixed up. Mixed up. See, mixture destroys. It destroys. Because they don't understand where that place is at. They don't understand that that place is in a pure place. When James said, anoint them with oil, there's nothing. There's nothing about oil that brings His presence. Nothing. You can dump gallons of it and gallons of it. It doesn't bring His presence. He's talking about anointing them with oil. He's talking about that some of those new converts may need some kind of contact where they reached out like a contact where you laid hands on them. There's nothing in oil. It'll bring you in presence. It's nothing in and of itself. There's only one thing that'll touch Him, and that's your born-again nature. That's the part that you were created to get to know Him in. And any time you start putting your trust in any kind of thing other than that, you fall into that place where things become a novelty for you, and you think it brings you into the presence, and it has nothing. Nothing brings you into His presence except one thing. That's your new nature that reaches out and cries, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do you understand? Because I'm talking to revivalists now. He shut down more revivals than you can shake a stick at. You say, well, we're past knowing that, past any of that kind. I don't know. You're talking about mixture. The last thing they sent me, and I don't know why, was a pack of chili seasoning mix. That's probably the only good thing I got out of the whole thing. Goes with the oil, maybe. Maybe increases the anointing, he said. I don't know. Maybe they were of a good intention. Maybe some preacher taught them that something, a little bit of this and a little bit of that and a little bit of this got God to come. I was in Korea. A pastor, I was preaching and God was moving on the services and we went out one evening. It was so powerful. Hundreds. And people were just being moved. And we had some wonderful services. He was talking to me about a guy that came to his church from China. He said this guy came in and ministered and the people loved him. And he got some kind of, he had a following. And then he said he kind of went strange on me. See, you pray in tongues. Keep worshiping Him. And keep magnifying Him for who He is. And know that that place of truth comes out of one place. It's your new nature. Nothing can add to it. He said the flesh can't add to it. He said it was a bunch of kids in China that got moved on by God. And little babies, they started praying and prophesying and all those kinds of things. And he said that guy started taking stock in that. And you know, he said he wouldn't do anything. He wouldn't do anything that he didn't call back and get somebody to go to them kids and get a word from them. See, what was God's next move for his life? See, here's where we are. We're finding a place in Him of security and balance. I come in here Sunday morning and one of my favorite people, JC, was on stage. She's worshiping God. I've had her pray for me. I've felt led at times to have her pray for me. Had her called up in Ocala and had her pray for me. But you know, people love things like novelties. Like, oh, let's just get the little kid. That's not God's M.O. His M.O. is a bunch of seasoned veterans who's faced down the devil day after day and have learned the Word of God and went through 1 John 1,000 times and faced the devil and got past things, that they were the ones who led the revival. Not novelties like, let's go get a bunch of kids. No. John said there's young men, there's fathers, and there's children, and there's those that are growing. And the world gets goofy and the church gets goofy and they get weird and they say, well, let's just see what strange thing God can do. That's not His M.O. It's weird. It's wrong. It gets the church all messed up. But the church loves novelties. Anoint me with some of that spikenard and I can go to another place. Oh, no. No, no, no. But you can pour gallons of it on me. And if my spirit wasn't knowing how to respond to Him, it's not going to take you any place. Is this good teaching or what? Hallelujah to God. Those are errors. But that's what He's wanting us to get past. And we are, by His grace. By doing a lot of praying in tongues. Movements have come, movements have gone, mixture. They didn't know how. The early veterans that were standing on their shoulders like Parham and Seymour and all those guys. We were talking about, some of us the other night, how much we appreciate it. They didn't know. Had something quick. And because they didn't know, they didn't know how to structure it. You know what we're praying for, Gay? You know what we're praying for, all of us, when she stands up and does those confessions on Friday nights? We're asking Him in all of our prayers. We want it more than anything else. But part of us are holding it back because we don't want it until it lasts. And it won't get weird. And it won't get crazy. And it won't get out in left field. And He can take it all the way into glory. They didn't know how to structure it. Part of what was wonderful, part of it was, they felt like, they said, nobody's got a real voice in this. And that was the good part, that nobody wanted to dominate it. Well, the enemy's got a trump card almost for anything. And because nobody wanted to stand up and say, this is the way it should go, then history records, then a lot of people would stand up and then they'd prophesy something crazy. And because nobody wanted to stand up and said, hey, I don't want to ruffle the waters here, then mixture got in. Said, everybody have a little part. Well, I think this, and I want to tell you what he's been doing for me today, and they'd take you to some far out planet, and people would have to sit there and endure it. Praying in the Holy Ghost will safeguard you against novelties and against weirdness and against thinking that you got to have something. What? He said, the flesh, there's nothing that you can do in your flesh. You've got to go there in the spirit realm. Glory to God. We had a day Sunday, brought the kids in. Wave the banners. Do you like that, Pastor? I love it. I love it. See, and even different forms of worship. Say, what about your style? When you worship enough, even if your style's one way, it doesn't take your spirit but about 10 seconds to find the anointing. See, I got a toucan Sam nose. I can smell the anointing wherever it's at. So I can jump into it even if it's not my style at any given time. But all of it was, I loved all of it. We got to jumping around and I tried to outdance everybody. So do you dance? Yes. But let me tell you something that you already know that helps you. Because we're going to go to places and we're going to get higher and higher and higher. But understand this. What part of you that's going higher and higher and higher? It's not your flesh. It's your spirit. And after a while, the flesh, even the ways to express our gratitude, will max out. There's just not but certain amount of things that you can actually do with your body to express to the Lord. That's where people have gotten weird before in the past. They thought, I want to go higher and higher in dimensions of God. And so they thought, I'll throw my body this way or I'll run or I'll do something. And there's only a certain place that you can go to and then your body just maxes out. And then it has to go inward. And the power that raises the dead and heals a sick or splits a sea is not in anything that you can do in the flesh. It's your spirit going to a higher and a higher dimension in God. See, you understand this. We'll bring the kids in or the adults when we have these kinds of praise services and jump and run and fly a flag or whatever. But we know that in and of itself, a banner doesn't bring God's presence. It's your born-again nature that just worshiping Him and magnifying. No physical gyration or anything that you can do brings Him in and of itself. Those are expressions and they can assist you just like music can assist you. But you've got to know that all the work that turns everything upside down is happening to you on the inside. So you say, Pastor, when we keep going higher and higher, where are we going to go? It's not going to be that it's going to be seen so much on the outside, although times and times we're going to have exuberant services. But you may have a guy sitting on the front row who's turning over turf. I mean, he's just turning over authority in the Spirit where He's changing a whole city and He's hardly moving His mouth. Because everything that's on the inside is what changes everything. It's not anything that you can do with your body alone. Whew. So movements have maxed out, like saying, we got to do something else. In fact, your authority to pull down any spiritual stronghold is not anything that you can do by... I mean, I'll feel it sometimes. It'll come out of my new nature and I'll feel it and I'll shout. But whether I shouted or whispered, it wasn't the volume or anything. It was where I was at in touching Him. Because my flesh, it can. Now, because your flesh is in one category and your spirit's in another, your flesh can max out and you can only go so far in your expression of worship. And it'll only do so much, but you can never max out what's happening to you on the inside. And that's the part of you God uses to change a whole city. Hallelujah to God. It's good stuff. Hallelujah. So we're understanding some things. This is my exhibit one. I don't know how many more I'll get. The pennies, I think, were, if I wanted to start, because the story was in this person, they found a penny and something. I didn't read it all because I had to get into prayer. They found a penny. They bent over the penny. It pushed somebody into something. That caused something to happen down the street. And this happened down there. And this, listen, that may, God may use some real kinds of extraordinary things, like circumference things, to get you into the kingdom. Because He's doing that because somebody's praying for you, your mama or somebody else. But once you get in, it's not, the plane flew over and dropped the package and it bounced over here and I got that and it set a chain of it. No, no, no. The way He leads you now is not by, Kenneth Hagin said, you want to put a fleece before God? He said, that's the best way to get fleeced. That's Old Testament. You got a new nature now. You don't have to say, God, if they drive by at 10 o'clock, then I'll know that you... No, no, no. The devil can get in this world system. He can cause them to drive by at 10 o'clock, and then you go off to doing something, and you spent your money, and you did this, and you did that, and God said, I never was in it. I gave you a new nature. I lead you by peace, or the interruption of peace. Hallelujah to God. I like talking to revivalists, because you guys know where we're coming from and where we're going. So we're going to run and we're going to shout and we're going to stomp the yard. But we're going to know this, that it can only go so far. It can limit out. And past that, it could only get weird. But it can never max out on what's going on the inside of you, where you get so strong, you're sitting here and the power of God is building like a dynamo on the inside of you, and you're ready to go out of this place and raise the dead and heal the sick and cast out devils. Now those are signs to the world. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lamb of God. Well, just lift your hands and just magnify. I exalt You and I worship You, Jesus. I glorify You. I exalt You, Jesus. Hirin shalah prosedi ansteti. Hallelujah. 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 How many of you feel edified? I think that would be the proof if He's saying these things because you're a revivalist. How many of you feel like you, that's feeding your spirit? You know that's truth. That's edification. Stand up with me and lift your hands. Glorify You, Jesus. I glorify You. Pastor Frank and Tina will be here Sunday morning and night. I just ask you to just do like we always do with every guest. You know, Frank only comes one day, and that's about our best time to always give. You know, they take anybody we send them and they don't ask. But they don't have no big, as far as I know, and I know him pretty good, they don't have any big, like, sponsors or big, you know, they're just living by faith. They've got 30-something men there. Most of them are young guys now. And that's kind of hard, too. So, I was talking to him yesterday, but he's really excited about being here, but just ask Him. Ask the Father. Because He'll have it. If you do it His way, it works. The church will have enough. Pastor Frank will be blessed. And anybody... You see, I pray... Because I don't have these guys in because they're my friends. I have them in because the Holy Spirit tells us. Gives us an opportunity. So if He does that... by His wisdom, then He provides everything. So pray and ask Him what He'd have you to give this weekend. Glory. But some of you would be extremely angry after such a wonderful time if you didn't get a time to bless now. Hallelujah. So, we'll give you that opportunity if anybody came just so ready. Bucket, where is the buckets? Buckets, buckets. Hallelujah. Do you know this place is filled with extreme blessings? Did I tell you that? Gay confesses that with us and leads us in that every week. Father, if you need anything, come to my house first. I believe she believes it. I believe a bunch more of you believe that. Hallelujah. So if he's going to come to our house and he's going to give us everything we need to make the journey with. Hallelujah. So Father, we receive this great outpouring among so few. We thank you for it. The blessing of the Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. We had a good time, didn't we? Amen. It doesn't feel like it's over.